Romans chapter 8, verse 28, this is the theme of this series. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Joseph said, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." I've had people over the years that deliberately do things to hurt me, but God never lets it hurt me. He turns it around. We have seen how Joseph was sold into Egyptian slavery by his brothers, how God turned it to good, and Joseph became governor and his brothers bowed down to him. But after the death of Joseph and his brothers, their descendants were enslaved in Egypt. Pharaoh was afraid of them because they were about to outpopulate the Egyptians. And you know the story, I talked about that last week, how he killed their babies. They cried out to God in their misery, and God sent Moses with great plagues. And Pharaoh let them go. People might say, well, God was awful cruel to send all those plagues. Well, look how cruel they were to God's people. You reap what you sow. Vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. They cried out to God, and God sent Moses with many plagues. And Pharaoh let them go, only to change his mind and chase after them. And a lot of times this is who we are. We're serving the Lord, and we looks like everything's going along pretty good. And then realize God, the devil set a trap for us. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 9, the Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea. Verse 10, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there was the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. Now I want to read this passage. I told it briefly last week. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I believe that, and so I try to sometimes tell a story to speed things up. But I think it's great just to read it because it builds faith. Exodus chapter 14, verse 19, and this gives more detail. Then the angel of God who had been traveling in front of Israel's army. How many believe the angel of God is traveling with you? Can you believe that? The Bible says angels are ministering spirits to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. Are you born again? Are you heir to salvation? Then there's an angel with you right now everywhere you go. He said, you don't have to believe the Bible, but I have a tendency to believe it sometimes. When everything's going smooth, I believe it. And I try to believe it when it's not going so smooth. But he said, he'll give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways and to bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Years ago, Michelle Carroll came back from Korea, and people been blown up all over the place back then. And she's a military person. That's why she's all over the world. Yay. And when she got back, I said, were you safe? Oh, yeah, I was safe. And I thought she meant she was in a safe location. No, she started telling me more about it, and she'd be driving along, and the vehicle in front of her would be blown up, the one behind her would be blown up, and she wouldn't be touched. So she was safe. You know why? She had angels, right? Angels riding with her. Exodus chapter 14, verse 19. Then the angel of the Lord, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them. Verse 20, I said the other, last Sunday, this pillar of cloud came and stood between the Egyptians and the Israelites, and it turned into a pillar of fire. See that in a minute. Verse 20, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel, throughout the night the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side. And so the cloud brought darkness to the enemy and light to the people of God so they could get prepared to get through the Red Sea. So neither went near the other all night long. That's straight from the Bible. I believe God is watching over every one of us the same way if we're living by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, what problem do you have? What problem do you have? I came to tell you that if God can do this, He can do what you need to make a way out, to deliver you. And these messages are no accident. I pray until I know I've heard from God. And there's a message in every one of these directly to, I believe, every one of us. The Lord divided the water of the Red Sea, and a strong wind turned it into dry ground, the bottom of it into dry ground. And the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground. Verse 23, don't try to do what God's people do unless you're born again and you're one of his people. Okay, it didn't work so well for the Egyptians. The Israelites made it through. Verse 23, the Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. How many know God can set a trap for your enemy? A few weeks ago, I was preaching on the goodness of God, and we read scriptures that said, if someone digs a hole for you, they'll fall in it. If someone comes at you with a sword, they'll wind up stabbing them on their own selves. So God has a way of turning things around on your enemy. And instead of running in fear, you need to just believe God that he's going to deal with it. Amen. Do what you know to do and leave the rest to God. Verse 24, during the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire. It wasn't just an angel in that pillar of fire. It was God himself. Look, I'm just reading it. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire. See, I told you, pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. God can throw your enemy into confusion. I pray every day that God will throw the Communist Chinese, the Communist Party of China into confusion, that they'll really mess up and wind up destroying themselves so the Chinese people can go free. I pray that Putin and his gang will have all kind of confusion going on. They make terrible mistakes that cause them to fail. So I pray the same thing for North Korea, because God can send a spirit of confusion into the camp of your enemy, and you can walk away not having to do anything. The Lord was personally involved, and I can stop and tell you some stories, but I'm telling you right now, this works. If you obey God. The Lord was personally involved in the battle. Verse 25, he made the wheels of the chariots come off. The angel of the Lord came down and took the wheels off of their chariots. Have you ever tried to drive a chariot without wheels? You ever tried to ride a bicycle without wheels? I mean, they got some bicycles without wheels over at my health club, and they just don't go anywhere. Oh, well. Verse 25, he made the wheels of the chariots come off, and so that they had difficulty driving, I would think so. And the Egyptians said, let's get away from these Israelites, get away from these Christians. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. He said, I fight for you, and they realized this guy really is fighting for Israel. I got angels fighting for you, for me. If you want to mess with somebody, don't mess with somebody that is born again and making an effort to obey God. Amen. People who fight against God, their wheels are coming off. Amen. And so Pharaoh's military did not survive. They drowned in the Red Sea. And that's what God had promised them. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. These Egyptians which you've seen today shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. I pray that every day, and I feel like God gave me that for the United States of America. I believe that God's going to rescue this nation. Can you say amen? Yes, we're in real trouble. But I believe as we repent and turn back to God and pray, I believe he's going to rescue this nation. Stand ye still and see the salvation of your God. You see, God doesn't stop working miracles when we leave Egypt. And a lot of people don't get the connection, but God rescuing these people out of Egyptian slavery is symbolic of God rescuing us out of Satan's slavery to sin. And we have been delivered from Satan's kingdom. He's no longer our slave master. We now are part of God's kingdom. We're now serving him. As I said, prayed earlier, we are the property of God. And God doesn't stop working miracles when you get saved. It just starts. The greatest miracle of all is salvation. People say, well, I don't believe in miracles. Well, then forget salvation, because that's the greatest miracle of all. There's no miracle like changing a person, totally change a person completely. Take a prostitute, turn into a healthy, loving mother. Take a drunk, turn him into an outstanding citizen. And take a devil like me and turn him into a preacher. I mean, that's a great miracle. Can you say amen? Exodus chapter 15, verse 23, when they came to Marah. Now listen, you get saved when my troubles are over, I'm saved, God's with me. Wait a minute, you got a devil, and he's working overtime. Look at this. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. Lord, I'm serving you. Why am I having all these problems? Quit asking those dumb questions and just start believing God to turn the bitter water to sweet water. There's a city around here named Sweetwater. He said, amen. Sweetwater. Exodus chapter 16, verse 3. The Israelites said to them, you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to get to death. They were out in the middle of the desert with about 3 million people. No place to get water and no place to get food. They couldn't find a single McDonald's in that whole wilderness. But God, it's nothing impossible. Don and I came here and started this church from zero because God told us to, and we never missed one meal. Amen. And I never worked a secular job except working this church. They complained all the way to the promised land just like we do. I'm one of the most blessed people on earth, and yet every time something goes wrong, I'll start complaining. Now, I'm just trying to be honest because a lot of people think, well, the pastor's perfect, and he doesn't have any problems, and he walks by faith. Hello. Okay. I live in the same demonized world you do, and I have to practice these scriptures just like I recommend to you. And I have to remind myself of who I really am. I'm a child of the King, man. God causes all things to work together for my good. Amen. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes me to triumph or win. I win. I win every time. It may look like I didn't win, but I won. Verse 13. And I'm not saying you'll have problems. I'm just saying God will help you overcome your problems if you'll not turn into a big baby and cry like I do sometimes. But if you do turn to big baby and cry like I do sometimes, repent, ask God to forgive you, get your faith back, and get back on track. Verse 13, that evening quail came and covered the camp. Have you ever been quail hunting? I don't know if they're the same kind of birds or not, but I've been quail hunting. Those things take off like a jet. And I mean, it sounds like a small jet coming up out of those weeds. And you better get your gun up quick or you're not even going to get off a shot. So these quail just come in and land in the camp and volunteer to be eaten. Well, what about that? Look, that evening quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning there was a layer of dew around the ground. Listen, if God has to, he'll send some quail to your house. Okay. If he has to, he'll rain down manna. Verse 14, when the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. What was it? It was frosted corn flakes. Some Bible scholars believe it was Honey Nut Cheerios. Exodus 17, verse 6. I will stand there before you by the rock in Horeb that didn't have any water. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink. He struck the rock, and they had all the water they needed for themselves and all their cattle and all their livestock. Somebody should say, praise God. In other words, God provided. You see, they do not know it, but they are on a mission to change the world. We are on a mission to change the world. The church is on a mission to change the world. This is not just about us having nice cars and houses. We're here to do God's work. That's why Johnny is right now having his dinners to help raise money to help feed the hungry. Can you say amen? We have a purpose. And so they were complaining about every little thing, but God was raising it for a great purpose. And we need to understand our purpose is more than just believing God for food. Our purpose is to be a light to this lost and dying world and be a light to the secular humanist Marxists of this nation. You see, they do not know it, but they are on a mission to change the world. It was to them that God gave the Ten Commandments. He was raising up to be his people all the time. Approximately 3,000 years later, the greatest nation of the world was built upon these laws and commandments of God. This is why Moses and the Ten Commandments are engraved on the outside of the Supreme Court building, because the United States of America is built on the freedoms that God has given these people right here. Freedom comes from God's word. Freedom is a gift from God. That's why we're losing our freedom, because we've let the secular humanist Marxists take over in our schools, our universities, and they're teaching there is no God. How can you put your faith in God, take care of you and your nation, when you don't believe there's a God? I mean, we have got to get back to the truth that God is alive and well, and he's on our side. And these lazy, cowardly preachers, that's too lazy and cowardly to get in the pulpit and really speak the truth, they're going to have to get back on it and preach the Word of God if we're going to keep this nation. And you say what you want to, but basically, preachers were behind the Revolutionary War in the beginning. They were supporting freedom from the pulpit every Sunday. Many of them were directly involved in it. And now they said, tell those preachers to shut up. They have no say in anything. God has a say in everything, and I represent God. Thank you. Certainly they don't like it. They want to shut up all preachers. They don't get rid of God. But it doesn't make any difference what they want. I'm going to do what God called me to do. And God's going to fight for me. He's going to fight for you too. That's what I came to tell you. I didn't come to tell you he's going to fight for me, because I already know that. You need to know right now he's fighting for you, even though you may not be able to see it. You don't see faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm trying to give you a substance of evidence today from the Word of God. You can stand and say, I know I got angels watching over me. I know God's fighting for me. God's causing this mess to work together for good, even though I can't see it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24. So the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes for our good always and for our survival, as it is today. You see, this is the reason they raised them up, to give us the Ten Commandments and to give us the laws of God, and then take it a step further to give us the Son of God. See, these people are on a mission, on a great mission. They don't even have a clue. They're just worried about no water and no food. Let's don't worry about those things. It's not important. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. See, if America is going to survive, we must return to God's word. Deuteronomy 6:24 again. So the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes for our good always and for our survival, as it is for today. If we're going to survive, we need the word of God individually and as a nation. And don't be intimidated when these demonic people are trying to tear down our faith and tell us there is no God. It man evolved from a little speck in the ocean. I'd like to know where the speck came from and where the ocean came from. Well, it was a big bang, but where did the big bang come from? See, it takes a lot more faith to believe that foolishness than to believe that God created this thing. If America is going to survive, we must return to God's word. Until this time, no one had received written commandments from God at all. This is the first time. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, you shall have no other gods before you. Listen to these Ten Commandments and see why they're relevant. See why they no longer apply. See why the Supreme Court, when it was very liberal, actually outlawed them. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, most universities outlaw them. You shall, and the first four is the reason the secular humanists really hate them. So the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes for our good always. You shall have no other gods before you. You shall not make for yourselves a graven image. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Verse 12, you say, well, this has never been a Christian nation. Yeah, well, why was working on Sunday outlawed until a few years ago? It was a Christian nation. So we outlawed people working on Sunday so everybody could go to church. And who did it benefit? It benefited the workers. It gave them a day off, a day of rest. it's God's will for people to have a day off. But the circuit healers don't care. Verse 12, honor your father and your mother. Boy, that's needed today. That your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. If you don't teach your kids to honor and obey you, you're teaching them to die early. You're training them to die early. If you're going to live a long life, you got to love and honor your mother and daddy. I'm expecting to live a long time because I've always loved and honored my parents. Even though my daddy was a character, I loved him anyway. And respected him as my daddy. Verse 13, you shall not murder. What's wrong with that? How many want somebody trying to murder you when you walk out of church today? Well, there may be because we're in a kind of a lawless state. But God will take care of you anyway. Verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. You want somebody trying to commit adultery with your wife, your daughter, your husband, your son? You shall not steal. You want somebody out there taking your car while you're sitting in here? What's wrong with these commandments? Verse 16, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You want people lying to you and lying about you? Bearing false witness, telling people you did stuff you didn't do, trying to get you arrested. Is that what you want? No, that's not what you want. Because you like these Ten Commandments. You shall not covet anything that is your neighbor's. That means you not only desire it, but you're plotting some evil way to get it. There's nothing wrong to have a desire for something or nobody ever buy anything. It's when you have a motive to take it without properly purchasing or paying for it. Secular humanism hates these rules, but the Declaration of Independence proves this nation was built on the Word of God. We hold these truths to be, comes almost straight from these passages I'm reading and from the Bible. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they, we say, well, they hadn't always been treated equal. Well, we're getting there. Can you say amen? And don't forget, slavery's been outlawed now for over 150 years. Hey, quit bringing up stuff that's already been paid for and put under. And it cost at least 600,000 mostly white people dying to set the slavers free. Why don't we just let that go? Hey, America did not become a great world power, a great nation until it got rid of the curse of slavery. So let's quit letting people bring that back up. It's over with. Well, there's still some races around. Well, there's not many today as they were. Can you say amen? And there's races on both sides. There's black people hate white people. White people hate black people. But that's just Satan. That's what Satan does. Can you say amen? But we hold these truths to be self-evident, no matter what people think or do, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness for everybody, every American. We all have that right, can you say amen, to pursue freedom, to pursue life and liberty and happiness. That is freedom that God put right here in the Bible. And he set his people free and brought them into a land of promise flowing with milk and honey. And he gave them their own property and he didn't allow anybody to take it away from them. It was their inheritance. It was passed down to their kids forever and ever and ever. See, this is why God broke his people out of Egyptian slavery. His people are created to be free from certain, to be free with certain unalienable rights. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that's exactly what was happening in the promised land. You see, the freedoms we have are a gift from God. This proves this nation, the United States of America, was built on God's word. We have our freedom because it came from God, and we better keep it. It's up to us. The ACLU, which is a secular humanist organization, used the liberal Supreme Court to remove prayer, Bible reading, and the Ten Commandments from public schools when I was sitting in my seat in high school. I remember what happened. Supreme Court literally outlawed prayer. And we've been, from the first grade, we were taught really, we weren't taught a denomination, but we were taught basic Bible principles. Love your neighbor, treat people the way you want to be treated, do not steal, lie, commit adultery. And in the first grade, my teacher, Miss Perry, gave me a ruler, and she said, this is the golden rule, live by it. I thought the thing was made out of gold. Anyway, the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Secular humanist said, no, do whatever feels good to you, whatever's right for you. Don't worry about your brother, don't worry about anybody else, what's good for you. That is totally opposite to God and God's word. That's Satan. We call them secular humanists, but they're servants of Satan's what they are. And the Supreme Court outlawed these things. And we've never been able to get them back. Once the government takes away something, you're probably not going to get it back, ever. They used them to legalize abortion, same-sex marriage, and release pornography to poison our kids. I'm not against homosexuals. I got some of my wonderful friends. But they have to accept me like I am, and I accept them like they are. You know, they have to just accept the fact that I believe the Bible, and we can still be friends. I don't hate them. I love them. I almost got in a fight defending one of them. You see, they want them. They also want them to outlaw guns so that when the Marxists take over, we can't defend ourselves. Let's make sure that don't happen. Amen. Now, they're lying to us. Now they are trying to use the court to take away parental rights and force transgender surgeries on our children without our permission. Listen, we're in a mess. Yay. You see, they're mad at the Supreme Court because our judges on the court now who no longer rule against the Constitution. They were happy when the court was outlawing prayer and the Bible, but now you got people who are like Clarence Thomas is a true. You want to know why they hate Clarence Thomas? It's because he's a true born-again believer that serves the Lord Jesus Christ. He believes abortion is murder, and these secularist Marxists hate him because of it. Why? Because they hate God, hate the Bible, and hate the Ten Commandments. And we're just going to have to accept that and realize that we're not very popular anymore, but we're just going to have to stand up and preach the gospel, read the Bible, no matter where people like it or not. And don't misunderstand, I hate racism. If you don't hate racism, you may not make it to heaven. Somebody say amen. Amen. Our number one prayer is to pray that all racism and all hatred in the United States of America will be replaced with love and replaced by good Samaritans who love each other and care about each other. Amen. Listen, that's the only thing that's going to save this nation. Did you watch have you watched any of the Olympics? This is the most diverse nation when it comes to race of any nation in the world. Look at all of our athletes. There's nothing like us out there. And we're winning, winning, winning. Why? Because we're diverse. Yeah. Amen. Amen. It's made us great. It hadn't hurt us. Look at Japan. Look at China. Look at India. Look at all these other nations. And when their athletes come out, they all look just like. Have you glad to be an American? There's nothing like this thing in the world. And yes, God brought it all about, and he took the evil of slavery and helped integrate this nation. I'm glad he did. I'm not glad that we had slavery, but I'm glad God turned the thing around. Some of my best friends, I don't even get into that. When I think about not having some of my black friends, I mean, I want to cry. God, I don't care how God got them to me, I got them. Amen. Anyway, my generation turned their backs on this. My generation is where this mess came from. I remember. High school and college, my generation turned their backs on God, God's word, and adopted secular humanism. America is in trouble today because my generation adopted new morality and secular humanism and turned their backs on God. On God as Israel did. Exodus chapter 32 verse 1. While Moses was on the mount receiving the Ten Commandments from God, they rejected the God who had delivered them. They gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us." Aaron made an idol, a golden calf. You see, this is basically what the secular humanists have done. They have made up their own God and their own religion, and Americans have bought it. Many in my generation, they preached it and taught it down in schools, and that's why many of our young people no longer believe in God, and no longer believe in the Bible, no longer go to church. Verse 7, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go down, because your people,'" he called them Moses' people. He didn't even call them his people. He said, "Go down, because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt." God would even claim them for a moment. Verse 10, "Now leave me alone that I may destroy them." I'm glad God has not destroyed America. He could, based on this, as wicked and ungodly as we are and all the hate going on in this country, he could easily just wipe us out right now and be justified. Except, there's a few of us really interceding for this nation And he's promised to honor our prayers. If my people, which you call by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Verse 10, now leave me alone that I may destroy them. This is what America has done. We've turned our backs on the God of the Bible and the God who created this great country. Because of intercessory prayer, God has not destroyed us. And because of intercessory prayer, he did not destroy Israel. Psalm 106, verse 23, therefore, he said that he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen one, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath. You see, Moses saved the people with intercessory prayer. Like Moses, we can save America through intercessory prayer. And after the Israelites refused to go into the promised land, when they got to the promised land, they saw the giants and didn't have the faith to go in. And so they rebelled and wandered around in the wilderness. So you got 3 million people wandering around, approximately, wandering through the wilderness. And the other nations are afraid of them. Balak, king of Moab, was so terrified of Israel that he hired Balaam the sorcerer to put a curse on them. But God turned the curse into a blessing. I mean, many times it's just like I was cursed, and all of a sudden God just turned the thing around. God can take the curses in your life and turn them to a blessing. Some people say the way that my daddy talked to me and treated me was a curse, but God turned it into a blessing. I'm a better preacher because of it. I'm more sympathetic to people who've been mistreated. Now look what happened when Balaam tried to curse them. Numbers chapter 23, verse 20. This is what happens when people try to curse you. Balaam said, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot change it. So this sorcerer is up on the mountain trying to curse God's people, and God confronts him and says, you are not to curse my people because I've blessed them. Look at this. I received commandment to bless, commandment from God to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot change it. Verse 23, there is no sorcery against Jacob. There's no sorcery against you. There's nothing the devil can do against you. If you take on the full armor of God, take that shield of faith and stand in faith, you can win, and you can win every time. Nobody said you're not going to have a hard time. Nobody said you're not going to have some hard licks. You will, but you can survive it until God's ready for you in heaven. And you can win. You can come out on top. Verse 23, they did, didn't they? Didn't they come out on top? Verse 23, there's no sorcery against Jacob or divination against Israel. It will now be said of Jacob and Israel, see what God has done. Believe it or not, Israel is God's nation, and God still fights for them. America is still God's nation, and he still fights for us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 2, Moab says, hired Balaam against them to curse them. However, our God turned the curse into a blessing. So he is working in America to turn the curses to blessings. He's working in your life to turn the curses into blessings. I guarantee it. I've watched it now all these years, and I've been around a while, as you can tell. And man, I've had many opportunities to fail and be defeated, curse after curse after curse, but God has turned everything around. I was born in a mess. Can you say amen? I had an uncle in prison. My dad's tried for attempted murder. He's 15 years old. I had the same demon, but God has rescued me, bought and paid for me, got me out of, and boy, I'm far from perfect, but at least he got me out of Satan's slavery. And now God is turning bad things to good for me. And he's doing the same thing for you. Let's stand.